listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat. It's April 29th, 2015. Another day of Fakeologist Radio. It's another day of looking at the newspaper and going nuts, trying to find out if there's any real stories out there. You don't have to go far. Our province, Ontario, where I live, is pouring. They're selling off the public, majority public stake in their Ontario Hydro, which is our electrical company that provides power to the province. It was created by Sir Adam Beck, and they needed the money to build a hydroelectric plant at Niagara Falls, which is probably one of the largest hydroelectric plants in the world. And he wanted it to be a public utility. So all Ontarians who live in this province could make use of cheap hydroelectric power. And I suppose he's one of those people, maybe he was a Mason, maybe he wasn't, who purported to believe in the idea that natural resources in a particular area belong to the people. That was the whole impetus for Ontario Hydro. I'm getting off on a bit of a tangent, but the bottom line is, going to sell off 60%, but not a controlling interest, of Ontario Hydro to pay for transit infrastructure. As we're very, very congested area around the northern end of Lake Ontario called the Golden Horseshoe here, and therefore we need infrastructure. So they don't want to pay any money for roads or expand roads. They want to put it in public sector jobs, highly paid, the best paid, which is basically a regular size train on regular size rails that run around mostly at rush hour, but most of the day moving people around the city or the metropolis, more than just the city. Yesterday I was driving home, and that's how those that fool us love to encode their stories. So this one happened not at 5:30, not at 5:31, but they specifically said on the radio 5:38. So here we are. We have an alleged accident or incident that happened. It's being reported literally an hour later on the news, and they said 5:38. So they already had an exact time. Amazing. And then further to my curiosity, it happened on track 11. I thought, here we go. No, and the guy was in his 30s, but no information, nothing. It was just another vague story. They had a police spokesperson, an interesting name that keeps popping up because obviously there's only one police spokesman for a police force of 7,000. They only have one person that does the spokesholing. But anyway, I'm looking into it this morning a little bit more because it's now front and center in the news. And I did make this post at forums.fakeologist.com under the heading Suspicious Stories, and then under the heading Canadian, what do I have it? I made a heading under Suspicious Media Events. I call it Suspicious Canadian Stories for 2015. So what I'm going to do is just put these little stories in the forum because I don't really want to clog up the main blog because there's just so many of them every day. So what is the stock picture they use of the train? 229. And you could say, well, it's 22 or 2 plus 9 is 11. And then allegedly I hear the story this morning that its train route is 801. And what other nonsense do we have to make it seem not real? Well, it's, guess what? It's Rail Safety Week in Canada. Wow. And there's an agency somewhere in Ottawa. I looked it up, 99 Bank Street, 99 in Ottawa, that promotes rail safety. Now, arguably, it's a noble cause. It's a good cause. But they're the ones, they're the agency that is behind Rail Safety Week. So lo and behold, it's Rail Safety Week. And lo and behold, we have a very unfortunate incident where someone who is allegedly from Peel Region, which is in the west, is caught by a train, dragged on the tracks, and run down. A train going to Barrie, which is to the north. So, one might ask, what would a commuter who lives in one place be going to another place at rush hour? More contradictions. But contradictions are the seeds of confusion, and that's how psychological operations and fake media stories go. Full of contradictions, make you crazy trying to make any sense of them. Cannot make sense of the details because it is the main message that they want to sink through and to permeate the great media sphere. They don't want you to look into any detail because you might find that the story doesn't sound right, sounds fake, and you might miss the message. But sorry to say, I am calling this one very, very suspicious. And there's no way to prove it other than if the guy's name is released. And I found out, if you're willing to spend $15 for a death certificate, in Ontario, all deaths are recorded, and allegedly it takes sometimes 12 weeks for them to make the registry, which is in Thundering Bay. It used to be in Toronto, or the capital of Ontario is, but they moved all kinds of government agencies 25 years ago to the hinterlands to give those people the coveted government jobs that are worth so much. So the registry for first deaths and marriages is in Thundering Bay, which is at the western end of Lake Superior. Anyway, so if you are interested, and you live in Ontario like I do, jot the guy's name down if it ever gets released. Write the date down that the media tells you is the death date. And instead of buying Starbucks for a couple days, send your money to Ontario's death registry and see if that name is recorded. In Ontario, and I suppose all across Canada, we do not have an SSDI, which is an online social security death index like they do in the United States, which incidentally, apparently, they're not allowing searches in the United States for deaths within the last 3 years, which would very handily eliminate the ease of researching fake deaths, because by the time 3 years goes by and you still remember to do a search on a phony story, it won't really matter. But on the other hand, if you do archive a lot of these phony stories, go back 3 years and start punching in some of the names and see if they show up in the death index. As we've discussed before, 9/11 deaths, hardly any show up. And of course, if you go to voiceof911.org, which is the official memorial, online memorial, you will have a good time going through all the official deaths of 9/11. Go check out the guest books. You'll be shocked and amazed how few, if any, entries are there. Some of these people that we are told died on 9/11, they don't even have a picture up. Imagine that. Some of the most famous Vic Sims of our time, of the most momentous event of our time, their family or friends could not find a good picture to memorialize them on the official website. Does that make sense to you? It doesn't to me. And I don't want to use sarcasm here because I know our Chinese listeners don't understand it. That means to me that this is a phony, fake event, because real people would have real memorials with really long guest books. A friend of mine just went to a funeral of someone he didn't really like and he didn't think was well liked. Well, how shocked was he when he went to the funeral and 500 people showed up? So don't tell me that certain people don't have friends and family, even people that don't appear to be friendly. They tend to get pretty good turnouts. And this guy's telling me the guest book had at least 500 names in it. This is an actual funeral I had to go to. So imagine an online registry, which is as easy as spending 30 seconds typing into. And you can do it from all over the world. Who would think there'd be more than one average comment in each guest book of the most famous victims of our time. Anyway, the next story I wanted to bring up before I run off, if anyone who wants to do a hit and run piece on audiochat.fakeologist.com, feel free. Ford recalls more than 591,000 vehicles. Now, my theory on auto recalls is this. Some are real, some are not. But despite what one might think, recalls, I think, are great free advertising. Why? Because it shows integrity in the brand. The automaker is willing to stand behind their product. And here's a case where they're recalling 591,000 vehicles, or 518,313 vehicles to be exact, according to this story. I don't there's a little bit of occult numerology there. But they're recalling vehicles for steering gear, motor attachment bolts that may break due to corrosion. That would change the steering system into manual mode, which is hard to steer without power steering, especially at lower speeds. There have been no accidents or injuries reported. However, Ford, out of the goodness of their heart, they are doing a recall. Now, I look at it this way. Yes, it's great publicity. I don't know if it's a real problem or not. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But either way, it's great publicity, number one. Number two, it does the most difficult thing retailers know to accomplish in retail, and that is get the customer across your front door threshold. And once they're in the dealer, it's upsell time. You need brakes, you need tires, you need this, you need that. And that is the most lucrative part of any car dealership, as anyone who has been in retail knows. But getting those people in the door, even if it's for a phony or bogus or very insignificant reason, could be the reason for this and other recalls, not just Ford, but all the major automakers. So do not think that recalls are bad for business. It's just the opposite. It's inverted. They're good for business. It's free publicity. It makes the company look good. And I'm going to tell you another thing. Very few people bring their vehicles in for recalls unless they have an actual problem. But it won't cost Ford really anything. It will be, if anything, it will be a huge benefit, because the few people that do come in, they might get a bolt put on, which would take all of 5 minutes for the most part. Plus, they would probably walk out with a huge bill for all the upsell service that they might get. Well, those are just two articles I want to drop on you. This is part of the audio chat. I come in here many times a day sometimes. If there's someone here, I'll chat. Otherwise, I'm just parroting and creating an audio record for my blog. And this is to entice you to come to the blog, participate, or come to the audio chat, participate. It gives you an idea of some of the things on fakeologist.com, where I investigate media fakery. Oh, and today I listened to Chris's Hoaxmasters. He had Henry McCow on with John Adams. John is a really good contributor as well. I'm enjoying their interviews. Great stuff. And they're deconstructing the occult Masonic power structure that runs this planet. And they give some very good arguments as to why they think that. And I tend to agree with them. And I'm enjoying their point of view. And I am enjoyed Henry McCow on the call as well. He's a fellow Canadian from Winnipeg, apparently, where I lived at one time. And it was just a pretty good discussion. I suggest you listen to that. That's linked on my blog. All the audios I listen to are linked to on my blog. So you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to seek any of it out. Just come on to my blog, go to the feeds section at the top of my blog, and grab all the feeds so you don't miss any content. If you click on feeds and then add them to feedly.com or your favorite feed reader, you won't miss a thing. It's the absolute best way to read the blog, so I suggest you do it that way, because it is hard to get information sometimes as it appears on the blog. If you don't want to do that, just come to the website. Go to the right side to see the recent comments, recent topics, recent replies. It's all there. Go to the, at the top, click on radio and click on K-Ham for K-Ham's page, where you can look at her past broadcasts. Her last broadcast is fantastic. 4.5 hours with Rochelle from Oregon. Go listen to that. It is great stuff. You're going to learn a lot about ARG, artificial reality games. Unbelievable how that's becoming the new, most effective methodology for marketing products and services. Besides PsyOps, take a look at that. The more people start talking about media fakery, the more interesting it becomes, because everyone has something to contribute. Everyone has some really great ideas, and when they, I like all the different interactions. I like when A talks to B, B talks to C, D talks to A. The more you mix it up, the more the personalities and people interested in fakeologists mix it up with each other, the more interesting stuff comes out. That's why I encourage everyone, get on audio chat, record your conversations. Everyone wants to hear it. Trust me. And if you dart around on different conversation topics, it's even more interesting. Don't think you have to plan out some elaborate show. Just start yapping about fakery and people will listen. Because it is really, really, really interesting for people like us. And where else can you listen to this stuff? Can't do it in your normal life, so come meet with like-minded people and chat and let others eavesdrop on your conversation.
Hi, everybody. This is Farce Value, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.